The Andrew Peach Show.
BBC Radio Berkshire. Saturday morning, tech help now with Fevzi Turkart. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. We're all still staying well, keeping good. Happy, although what we've learned this week is it's all much easier when the sun's shining.
Yes, isn't it?
I mean, you know, we're locked inside with our technology and whatever, but it's nice to be able to go and play in the garden, go for a walk, all of that. And that's felt all a bit restricted this week. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't like getting rained on when I walk. I worry that I'll be 2 miles away and it'll come bucketing down. And then,
If you have a question about the keeping in touch technology, mobile phones, laptops, antivirus, broadband strength, photographs, we've done so much, haven't we, over the weeks? 0808 100 5100. Call us now. Text Barks and your message to 81333, email andrew.peach@bbc.co.uk. If you've never had a smartphone and you're starting to think, you know what, I might just tip my toe into the world of smartphones, where would you start? Because you can spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on these things.
Well, yeah, so it's interesting. One of the things I would do is I would think about what other people are using. So, for example, if the people that I mostly want to be in contact with are users of Apple devices, then that would be a point in favor of going Apple, although not the only thing to consider, because then you could then be both using FaceTime, which is built-in way of doing sort of video messaging and so forth, and you can message and send pictures to each other without having to use WhatsApp or something like that. So that's one thing. What are the people that you'd most want to communicate with using? Although both Apple and Android phones, so there's the two operating systems, you've either got Apple that runs the iOS software or you've got everything else which runs Google's Android software, although they both have facilities for helping people that, you know, some people might be partially sighted or just, you know, need some sort of assistance, both of them had those assistive technologies in them. The Apple stuff tends to be a bit easier to use. But what I would say is, however you buy it in such a way that you can return it. Because even if you were able to walk into a shop these days and someone could give you a proper demo, which by and large they can't and so forth, you know, it's only really when you get it home and start trying to use it that you decide whether it's for you or not. But a lot of these phones can now be used purely by voice, which is, you know, which is a good thing, either if you need of assistive technology or not. The other thing is, think about the apps that are running. So the Android-based phones can be bought more cheaply. I mean, there's more expensive ones as well, but they exist at the cheaper end, whereas the Apple stuff starts at, you know, moderately expensive to very expensive, but you know, they're great phones as well. So think about the software that you're going to run. Some of the software is only available on Apple. So, for example, I've got a penchant for, you know, using tablets and smartphones as synthesizers. And the best stuff for that, almost all of it, is on Apple, hardly any of it on Android. But on the other hand, you know, if you're familiar with Android or you know, your loved ones use Android, then that can be a plus point. If you don't need a smartphone or if you need a very basic smartphone, there's also a manufacturer called Doro. I think they're Swedish, D-O-R-O. And they specialize in phones either for older people or people with sight impairments or other impairments. So their phones are very easy to use. A lot of their phones are not smartphones. They can be really simple. I mean, the simplest one is just a phone, even with no keypad, no numeric keypad on it, just four buttons, A, B, C, and D, and you put a picture of four people against the buttons, and that's the simplest phone to use. Then you have more sophisticated phones that will have additional features like tracking and fall detection. So again, if you've got an older person and they've got the phone on them and they have a fall, it can detect that that person has fallen, and even if they're unconscious, it can make an emergency call to not only say that the person's fallen, but identify where they are, because it will use the GPS chip to, you know, give location as well. And then they have smartphones, and the smartphones, again, have got an extra, they use Android, but they've got an extra layer of software on top that makes them easier to use. So Doro is worth thinking about. Apple is worth thinking about if you can afford it. Android is worth thinking about if cost is an issue, or if you already with you know have people that use Android and not Apple, then
okay. 0808 100 5 100. Call is free. Fevzi Turkalp is here. Jackie's in Thatcher. Morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to know, Jackie?
Well, my husband's passed away, and I would like to put some photographs in a machine around the room, like they do sometimes.
Yeah.
So I want to copy those photos that I'm going to take in case they get damaged, if you understand what I mean.
I see. And are you saying, so just to understand, Jackie, are you saying your husband's passed away very recently?
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to hear that. And are you organising a funeral or memorial for him?
Yes, when we can.
When you're able to. And you want to take some printed photographs.
Photographs, those of my album.
I see.
And they're coming out like ghosts or
the
colours orange or instead of blue. Or I've used two brand new cartridges, that's £60. And I'm not getting anywhere with it. I've tried looking at the help. I either don't understand it or it's not worked.
So you're trying to, just to really understand what you're trying to do, you've got some, I'm sorry if I'm being daft here, but you've got some printed out photographs that you want to copy in order to use them in a display.
I want to copy them so that if they get damaged, I've still got them at home.
And when the damaged thing would be, the printed photos get used in the display.
Yeah.
So you've got a copy just in case.
Yes.
I see. Fevzi, what can you do to help out Jackie?
Okay, so, Jackie, first of all, my condolences. I'm so sorry for your loss. So the best way of making copies of them means sending them out of your control to someone who can professionally copy them. So before you do that, you should do the best job that you can of copying them, so that you know if they get damaged either you know during the display or because you choose to send them away, you've still got copies. If you've got you mentioned that you've got a printer with you know an inkjet printer. If the printer has a scanner section built into it. You know, like a flatbed scanner, I don't know if it does, you can scan them and produce, you know, digital copies of them that way.
You've got a PC and a printer, Jackie, haven't you?
Yeah.
By the sound of it.
Printer and then a scanner.
It's got a scanner, so you could, in theory, copy the photographs without needing to print them out.
I used to be able to make them darker, lighter, or cut the people out or do what I like. It's not that I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know how, for some reason, doing a straight copy or putting it onto the computer and doing a copy from there, the colours are not right.
Right. So you're taking old photographs and what you're getting is a scan or a printed out copy, which is a bit all over the place. Fevzi? Okay.
So rather than use up your ink and produce a picture, which is going to be okay, but it's never going to be great on a home printer. So what I would suggest is instead of using the copy function where, you know, it scans the picture but then attempts to print it out, use the scan function. Tell it there'll be a setting to say it's a photo as opposed to text. Use a scan function. I wouldn't put it through a paper feeder, you know, only do this if it's what they call a flatbed scanner, you know, where like you flip the top up and put it down on the glass, face down on the glass. I'd only do that because if it goes through a mechanism, particularly something that's a smaller photo, it could get torn up by the mechanism. So don't do that. But if you've got the ability to flip it up, put it face down on the glass and then scan as a photo at the highest resolution that it will allow you to do, then that's a good way. Another way forward, I don't know if you use a smartphone or if you've got a digital camera at all, but another way is just to place it on a table in, you know, with good light, you know, perhaps next to a window, turn the flash off on your smartphone or camera and as steadily as you can, just shoot straight down onto it. You know, try and make sure, just be aware that you don't cast any shadows on it as you're doing that.
I've done that. That does work really well, Jackie. It sort of sounds unlikely, but taking a photo of the photo is a really good way of getting a copy of it.
Yeah.
So if you've got to get your camera, get your phone, And then just literally take a photograph of the photograph. I've found that sometimes if you want to, you know, post an old photo that you've only got printed out on social media, it's the only way to do it. So you photograph the photo with your phone. And what you get is a really, really decent version, I find, anyway.
Thank you.
Give those things a try.
I tried copying it, and I thought maybe I needed software, but I wouldn't know what software to get.
Once you've got images, you can send those images digitally to a company that will print them out for you professionally, not use up £60 of ink, and do a better job of it than your home printer would do. Some of them will even sort of crop it and make it, you know, set the orientation so it's perfectly square and all that. Some of them can even pretty up the pictures for you as well if you pay them a bit extra. But at least that way you don't have to send the physical pictures out of your possession. And you mentioned putting them on display. Of course, you can print them out and put them on display, which I think is possibly what you have in mind. But once you've got the photos in a digital form, you've also got the option of putting them on a screen, like a large TV screen with a scrolling display, or a tablet that can be, you know, in the corner of the room or even passed around. You know, there are software things that you can even combine those photos with, for example, favourite music and things like that, and make a nice presentation as well.
So Sam, I think the way forward, Jackie, I reckon, is to work on getting your digital copy in some way, shape or form, by scanning it, by photographing it. Once you've got your digital copy, you can do all sorts.
Okay.
If there's anything else you need, Jackie, because it's clearly a very tough time you're going through at the moment, if there's anything else you need, you just pick up the phone and ring me and we'll sort it for you, all right?
Well, I've got 60 photos. I think it costs a lot to let somebody else do it.
Well, I don't know. I think what I would work on is not so much worrying about the printed copies. I'd worry about getting your digital copy just by photographing it with your phone or your camera, or maybe by scanning it on your printer. Because once you've got that, you can do all sorts.
I scanned it on the printer.
Right. So you've got the copies on the PC?
Yes.
Right. I would not worry too much about printing them out. That's where this is going wrong, I would suggest to you.
Yeah.
It's the printing that's the problem. And if once you've got the digital copies, you can get someone else to print them for you, and it costs you less than the £60 you've already spent.
Right.
That's what I would do. Any other problems you got, Jackie? You pick up the phone, because I can tell that life's tough at the moment, and I love and best wishes with you. Thank you for ringing the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Obliged.
Take care. That's Jackie in Thatcham. 0808 100 5100. We'll get Jackie to talk to the Peach Show team, check she's all right. 0808 100 5100 if Fevzi can help you with photographs, with laptops, with antivirus, with Zoom technology, whatever it is. Put the call in right now if you would. It's 10 to 9.
BBC Radio Berkshire.
The Tech Help phoning with Fevzi Turkout this morning. Whatever you want to know, please call now. 0808 100 5100. Sean in Tarhurst says, can you recommend a good fitness tracking app? I'm trying to keep fit, doing some running and whatever. I know there are apps that can help with this. Is there a good one?
Well, there's loads of good ones. I mean, I would start with whatever is built into your smartphone itself. So both most Android phones and Apple iPhones will have fitness tracking stuff built into them in terms of software. Then there's third-party stuff. A particular popular one, for example, is called Runtastic, like fantastic, but with R-U-N at the beginning. That's a good one. Nike do a good one as well, and I think that the thing you have to be aware of is most of these, the good ones, they have free versions, but when you want the additional features, they can be subscriptions and they can get expensive. The other way is to consider actually using an app in conjunction with some additional hardware, so you can get a smartwatch that will track much better, because it will then do, your phone will say, you know, how fast you're going and stuff, but it won't necessarily give you things like heart rate and breathing and things like that, whereas if you've got a smartwatch, it will do. Apple obviously do the Apple Watch, but you're talking about, I think, about £400 up for something like that. But there's a company called Withings, a French company, that do really smart looking smartwatches. Actually, when I was wearing one, I actually got compliments on the style, and people didn't realize it was a techie watch. It looked like a really stylish French designed watch. So that sort of thing, if you want to go a step further, can be really useful, because, for example, when you're exercising, they say that, you know, for cardiac exercise, you should get, I think, is it 85% of your maximum heart rate. And it basically works out what your breathing is like, what your heart rate is doing, and also those things can sometimes detect, if some people have got an arrhythmia and they don't know it, it can detect that sort of thing. But start with the software that's built in, and then if you're not happy with that, check out Runtastic and the Nike app as well. And then if you want to go a step further, consider buying a smartwatch.
Okay, Sean, thank you very much. 0808 100 5100 or text Barks in your message to 81333. Emma in Pangbourne says, my 14-year-old is bugging me to get a music streaming subscription because he's bored. I know there's Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, all sorts. Which one would you recommend?
Okay, well, you might already have access to one without knowing it. For example, if you, for example, are an Amazon customer and you're an Amazon Prime customer where you pay extra to get fast deliveries and access to their movies, you also get an access to a basic version of Amazon Prime Music or Amazon Music, which is pretty good. It's got most things on there and you don't have to pay extra. Beyond that, there are a lot of deals knocking around where, you know, you can get 1, 2, even 3 months free. With a code with, you know, Apple Music and so forth. So I mean, the ones that I use are Amazon Music. Once you pay for them, they're all great, frankly. Spotify is particularly good if you like doing playlists. It's particularly flexible in terms of setting up playlists, and there's a social element where you can sort of share your musical taste with others if you want. So Spotify is excellent. Google's YouTube Music feature is also good, and don't forget you can also use YouTube to get most music, but their subscribed packages is very good, so you should check those out. And the free version of Amazon Music is good. Once you're paying for them, the differences between them are minor, because for the most part you can get almost anything on any of them, so it's really a case of personal preference. But check out also, sometimes when you buy stuff, I mean, there's a lot of stuff at you know, various high street retailers, one that sounds like a popular takeaway. They do stuff where when you buy a gadget, certain gadgets, you get 6 months Spotify subscription free. So you could try doing a sort of a Google search for free subscriptions, or you could just get free 3 months from each one, and you can,
yeah,
you
know, do it that way. Yes,
you can just be a year before you actually have to pay for anything. I mean, there's a lot of ways of getting this without paying extra or paying much extra for it.
Okay, you've got a gadget you wanted to mention about children learning computing.
Yeah, so I'm that generation that grew up with the BBC Micro. That was my first computer, and it sort of set me on the path of being a sort of a geek, I suppose. And it gave rise to a whole generation of people who became some of the best sort of best software programmers and technologists in the world. And now we have something from the Raspberry Pi Foundation, which is a charitable foundation. They do a little credit card size tiny computer. It just looks like a circuit board. It fits in the palm of your hand. It's called the Raspberry Pi 4. Pi is P-I, no E on the end. And it's a tiny computer. You can plug it into, you know, dual 4K monitors, and it can work like a desktop computer. But because it's got USB-C power on it, which means you can use it off batteries, and it can form the brains of a robot. It can do artificial intelligence. It can be a smart hub at home, a media center. It can be anything. Think of like high-tech Meccano set. It's popular with children, but also with adults, and it just can fire the imagination of people. It's now out in an 8 gigabyte version, which is why I'm mentioning it today. But these things are amazing. They start at about £35 and go up to about £75, depending on the memory of the card itself. You can use it with standard keyboards and mice. It's got standard, you know, USB 3 sockets on it and all that sort of thing. But I mean, I'll give you an example. One guy programmed it and stuck it with attached a camera to it and put it on his cat flap. And what he did was his cat kept bringing in dead mice.
Yes.
Into the house. So what he did is he wrote a program that looked at the cat as it was approaching the cat flap. And if it had a mouse in its mouth, and it could work it out through artificial intelligence whether the cat was carrying a mouse, it would lock the cat flap. But if he didn't have anything in his mouth, then the cat could come in.
Excellent.
So you could also use that to do facial recognition on your cat and only let your cat
stop
in,
other
example.
Cats getting in. So, this is so, all the vital technology in our house, I tell you. The number of animals we have to deal with is incredible.
But the things you can do, you can turn it into a synthesizer, you can turn it into something that does smart control of your home, all sorts of things. Just you can program it in grown-up programming languages, you know, the sort of things that if they learn those, kids learn those languages, they can use them to find jobs afterwards, you know, like really high-level language like C++ and things like that. And also, I would say, so I've given this 4.5 stars out of 5, and I never give 5 for anything, so you can see how I sort of feel about this.
Yeah, you rate it.
This is what I love. But also, the Raspberry Pi website, which I think is raspberrypi.org, they're a charitable foundation. They produce this hardware not to make money, but to encourage people to, you know, take up tech. But they have got some great resources, especially during these sort of lockdown days. They've got great resources for young people and, dare I say, older people on their educational stuff of computer technology. Fantastic free resources on their website. Just go and check it out. It's raspberrypi.org. It's all free, the stuff on there, and it's excellent. They're a proper charitable foundation. They're not some company that just happens to do a bit of free stuff. They're a charitable foundation that's interested in helping us sort of create a new generation of technology literate kids, and they can do AI software on there, like the guy with the cat flap. They can do robotics, so it can be built into the robot. You can attach cameras to these things, like high resolution cameras. You can make really smart security cameras that can not only tell you when someone walks in, but tell you who they are. You know, that sort of idea. Just anything that your mind can conceive of, like Meccano, you can build.
Good stuff. Fevzi, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. See you soon.
Cheers. Bye
now. Fevzi Turkup with our gadget phone in this morning, our tech help phone in.